You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to Dotto Tech. I am Steve Dotto, and we are ever so glad you are joining us for this 81st installment of this iteration of Dotto Tech. 81 shows, Art, and I think we are Canada's longest running tech show if you add all of my other shows in. Is that fair?
I don't think it comes even close.
Yeah, well, I know it doesn't come close, but if it was just this since we came here to AM 650, it's 81 shows. But before that, we had like 300 on TV, and I don't know, so I think I win.
I will crown you king.
I am the king. Oh, good. Well, what are you, squire?
The jester? How about the jester?
You can be court the jester. Jester. You can be the jester. In this 81st installment of Dotto Tech, we've got some great stories coming up. We're going to be taking a look at a game that's just been released, developed in Vancouver, called Milk vs. Cats. Art, while we do the start of the show, I want you to download the game so that by the time I do the interview, we can you'll have played it, and then I want your feedback after we do the interview.
Yeah, it's downloading
Milk
as
versus
we speak.
Cats. There we go. Milk versus Cats. We're going to be talking about that. We've also got John Riley, Senior Product Manager for Sonos, on. We got a great new contest that we're giving away, a Sonos music player on our a Sonos music system, actually, on Dotto Tech for our November giveaway, which I am très excited about. Très is the French word for very. I am very excited about. And so John Riley's going to be talking about it to us about it. And Julian Saunders from London Drugs is on, and we've got a great chat today about TVs. Not your TV, but the TV box. Apple TV, which we know about, mm-hmm. but the Google TV is finally out with an offering from Sony that Julian's going to fill us in on. I think you will find it fascinating. I think I want one.
So would that be, I mean, without taking too much away from it, are we talking
about stealing the thunder?
Yeah, without stealing the proverbial thunder. With that, the Google TV. So for anyone who isn't an Apple fanboy, that would put everything into your that would connect your TV essentially with all these sort of apps like the Netflix app, the YouTube app, things like that.
Very similar to Apple TV, but with some different Google's take on Apple TV. It's fairly compelling. I'll let Julian explain it, but you might be interested because I know you're into that kind of stuff. So the big question is, what did you do last night?
I did two things. One, I followed that election, the presidential election, without having to go to television. I had my iPad
for the first time,
internet, and I downloaded the CNN app, which was fantastic because it kept like an up to the minute. Color diagrams of all the states, all the reds and the blues, and essentially so I was able to multitask. I didn't have to sit there watching CNN TV all day, all night to find out what was winning. I was doing some chores around the house. I was writing some material. I had a show last night too. And then also every few minutes, I would just refresh the CNN button. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it would refresh itself. And find out, you know, in the beginning, nail biter.
Now, without, you're a public figure, so I guess it's fair. Did you have a horse in the race? Did you care who won?
In a way, I cared. What I felt the difference between this election and 4 years ago was that I remember the hype when Barack was up for election, and I think it really showed when it came down. I mean, yes, Barack ended up winning. Hands down.
Yes.
But not the same way. I remember the presidential election 4 years ago. They announced that Barack won at like 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
It was so early. Like, it was a crushing. Whereas this year, I didn't see the fanfare. I didn't see as many celebrities other than like Twitter and Facebook and things. I didn't see them on front pages of newspapers and on all over Entertainment Tonight, like with their Barack Obama shirts. Mm. It just seemed like, I don't know, it was just downplayed a lot more than it was 4 years ago.
Well, it wasn't historic because it wasn't the first African-American president it was the second.
Same guy.
I didn't watch it last night. For the first time, I think, that I can remember, I I didn't turn the TV on to the election as well. I didn't. I watched Young Frankenstein last night.
Wow.
What hump. It was great. I sat back, you know, I just wanted to disengage a bit. I did have my iPad running in keeping me up to date. And so and I cared. I wanted to see Barack Obama win. I think most of the rest of the world kind of wants to see Obama win rather than Romney, but so I was a little nervous at times. It was kind of like, you know, it was kind of like a sporting event where, you know, you're up and you're down and you're up and you're down. But I thoroughly enjoyed Young Frankenstein. I hardly recommend that for anybody that wants to spend a pleasant. It's a much more pleasant even than the most that we spend. You know, Terry Garr, just hilarious. Yeah,
maybe perhaps another sort of like a civic election instead of watching the television. They can watch Young Frankenstein.
Well, give it a shot next time. I'm not sure if there's a theme there, but you know, if not, Blazing Saddles is a good option.
Every major election, we know Steve won't be
watch a Mel Brooks.
He
movie.
Won't be glued to the television.
Probably not
news.
Robin Hood Men in Tights. Although I enjoy it, it just doesn't age the same way as the others do. True.
Agreed.
Although my favorite of all is The Producers. I love The Producers.
Saw it live.
No, not the musical.
Oh, no, the musical.
Musical's good. The musical's excellent. Actually, ironically, the musical, the characters in the Producers are almost identical to the characters in the play that I'm doing right now. My character is so similar to Max Bialystock, it's not funny. And Ryan Mooney, who plays opposite me, is so similar to Bloom. Well, you'll see when you come to see the
show. I will be there next Saturday.
Yeah, we opened on Saturday. We opened this past Saturday. It was
and
it was
fanfare?
A grand,
was it bigger than the presidential election?
A grand opening. Well, no. It was Metro Theater in Vancouver. I mean, it was nice. They were celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Metro, so there was a lot of old faces there that have been a part of Metro's history. And a lot of them are getting on. And it was wonderful to see them because I started in theater. I've been involved in amateur theater and semi-professional and even a little bit of professional theater for my whole life. I started as a teenager, like straight out of high school, and the first shows I did were at Metro.
Wow.
So I'm going back 30 plus years.
So Metro Theater, that'd be the theater right by the Arthur Lang.
Yes, yeah, right in the heart of Marpole. Yeah.
Right by there's Marine a new Drive. Dollar store and a new liquor store just down the street. So
is
it's,
there?
It's
okay.
Perfect.
Okay, well, I didn't know that, but
by the
yes.
old the Arms.
Down, yeah, the Fraser Arms. That's right. It used to be the Fraser Arms. Yeah, they used to have strippers at the Fraser Arms when I was in high school. They used to serve high school kids aged people beer. Not that I know from personal experience.
I think that's why we now know why you your first shows were at the Metro Theater.
No, not so actually, but it was convenient if I chose that extra pastime. But let's get this show back on technology
okay.
for a moment, because I see sitting next to you for the first time your iPad.
I love this thing.
It's
I'm not going to lie to you. Remember a year and a bit ago when we met, we shook hands,
you said
you asked
never,
me if yeah. I was, and I said, Apple products, huh? Who could afford that stuff?
Yeah, and what did I say to you?
You'd say, in a matter of time, you're going to be you're going to be the Apple fanboy of the show.
Well, I didn't actually say, I think what I said was that there's a reason that they can carry that price tag, and the reason is how they fit together.
Yes.
And that, you know, how much time are you going to spend using a computer? In how many hours a day do you use a phone, a computer, or a tablet? And when you amortize the cost of the Apple product over that time, it's really not that much money.
Yeah, and that's what as I mentioned last week, when I actually bought the thing, they announced the Apple products, the Mini and the Apple 4, so I got a deal. So I'm all about getting the deal.
Yeah.
I'm not about, I don't need to have the new iPhone 5. I don't need to have the new Apple iPad 4.
Just as long as it was cheap.
Yes.
I looked at the Mini the other day at the Apple store. I had a long visit at the mall. I have to tell you the story. I'm not sure this is appropriate for radio, but I have to tell the story.
I'll bleep things out if I need to.
I visit the mall on a very infrequent basis. And one of the arms on my glasses broke on Saturday night. I don't know. I just put them on after the show and it was broken. So I had to get a new pair of glasses. And I had a new prescription anyways. And I was just kind of waiting. So I went to the mall to visit the glasses place. And, you know, you're waiting because you're hoping to get your glasses in an hour. So I'm hanging out at the mall. And I went to the Apple store. I looked at the Mini. But on my way to the Apple store, I stopped at the men's room to use the urinal. I had a...
Not sure I like where this is going.
Well,
just power through it.
Dude walks up next to me, stands in the next urinal, drops his pants to his ankles. I am not joking. I've never seen that before. And I didn't honestly know how to respond. I kept thinking, would it be inappropriate to take a picture?
The answer to that question is yes.
Yeah, I know it's yes, but what a good picture it would have been. I mean, he's just standing there with his pants around his ankles like he's 2 years old at the urinal.
I thought you were going to tell me that he was going to look over and say, "Hey, aren't you Steve Dotto?"
That's a terrible story. This is a true story, though. I mean, have you ever had that happen?
Back when in elementary school, yeah.
When the kindergartners come in,
yes,
they might do that. But this was a grown man who was spending the day at the mall with me.
Maybe he just doesn't like to get some spillage on his pants.
But the floor? Have you seen the floor of those things? I mean, it's disgusting.
Maybe to him, it's a lesser of two evils.
I wonder if anybody's still listening to the show.
They have to be.
They should be. I should be. And I had all sorts of other stuff that I wanted to do, but I think we should get to our first guest. Let's talk about Sonos. I'm Steve Dotto, and you're listening to Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dotto Tech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
I have been on a little bit of a search in my home to set up the perfect music system. Now, here was my challenge that I had. I love AirTunes in my iPhone and all of that sort of stuff. But with AirTunes, we could send our music to our phone in the bedroom, say, as we woke up in the morning, listen to our music. But then I had to get up and make coffee. And if I took my phone with me, that meant that the music stopped in the bedroom. So I needed to find a sharing system where I could send the music from my iPhone to multiple places at once. And surprisingly enough, there aren't very many options in that space. But fortunately, there's one, and it's an excellent option. It's Sonos. They make a system that allows me to share music into different zones in the house to different wireless speakers. And joining me online right now is their senior product manager, John Riley, out in Massachusetts. How are you doing, John?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
It's my pleasure. Did I describe what a lot of your customers are looking for properly off the top?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. We're a company that's built around trying to fill every home with music. So a lot of our customers come into the Sonos fold by wanting to have music out loud all over their home and be able to interact with it in a really simple and easy way. And so we've structured the product from the ground up to be all about being able to listen in every and any room of your home and have the music keep playing as you wander around in between the rooms.
Now, at the heart of your system are your Sonos speakers, and you've got just basically two speakers, well, three speakers, I guess, that work in a variety of different ways. You have the Play 3, the Play 5, and then your subwoofer. And they're designed for different size rooms and different configurations, but they're flexible too. I'm really compelled by the fact that, say, the Play 3 speakers, which are designed for a small room, that would be like a bedroom type environment.
Yeah, there's just basically levels of how loud and how big of a room it can fill. Mm-hmm. If you want to be really annoying the neighbors, you'd probably go for one of the Play 5s. It's going to really fill a large room with a lot of sound. And the Play 3 is it packs a pretty big punch itself as well. But you know, one of the things that we knew when we were building these all-in-one speakers that are the two players is you can only get so much bass out of a all-in-one speaker that's sized to fit on a shelf. So mm-hmm. we went ahead and also developed the Sonos Sub, which you can pair with either one of the players or actually a stereo pair of the players, and really take the music experience to the next level.
And that's one of the things that I really found interesting with your speakers is that they're standalone stereo speakers, which you can just put on a bookshelf or put somewhere in a room to have ambient music or background music in that room. But then with the three, I'm not sure how you do it with the five, but with the three, if you turn it on its side and you get two of them together, they will then pair up and become stereo speakers, say if you were putting them in for your home theater system.
Yeah, that's correct. You can turn it up, and it has an orientation sensor inside of the speaker. So all of our speakers are smart, and we spend a lot of effort on the technology to make the experience really simple for users at the end. So putting them into a pair and playing the left channel from one and the right channel from another is a very simple setup experience. And they'll, of course, play back perfectly synchronized, so you'll really get a big stereo sound if that's what you're looking for. And it works with the 3 or with the 5. You can pair them as well, although the Play 5 does not support multiple orientations.
Okay, yeah, it just it's the one, but it will go as right and left channel if you choose.
That's correct.
And let's talk about the setup, because that's really where the rubber meets the road. There's lots of AirPlay systems out there which are nice speaker systems that you can get for, you know, a variety of prices that will allow you to send music from your iPhone or your iPod or your iPad or your computer to the speaker wirelessly, and they do a really nice job. The difference with your system, I'm sure you think, I'm sure there's audio differences as well, which we can't really describe here on air. But the big difference to me is the fact that you have a bridge that will allow me to basically pair or control which speakers are playing at what time, and synchronously, I can have the same music playing in different zones in the house, which to me is exactly what I'm looking for.
Yeah, so one of the things that we set out to do from the beginning was to make setup of the system very, very easy. And we spent a lot of time and effort on how we would make that work the best. That was one input to the way that we built the system. The second input is that we wanted to make sure that you had really robust wireless so that you wouldn't get music dropouts while you're playing back audio from any content source that you have in your home or even in the cloud. And so what we've done is we've actually designed a mesh network. So any one of the Sonos products, typically it's a bridge because you might not want audio where you have your router and the internet source coming into the home, connects up to your existing network. And then the rest, as you place them around your home, actually create a mesh network that's separate from your Wi-Fi. And that mesh means the more products you place in your home, the stronger the Sonos wireless performance gets. And it allows us to do a whole bunch of really cool stuff, like playing back synchronously. You can play the same song in up to 32 rooms in perfect synchronization. Or if you want, you can play back a different track in every different room of the house. You can do a bunch of really interesting, simple stuff, like group rooms together. It does it all seamlessly. The music never stops playing, or break rooms apart, and all of it works completely seamlessly. And you can control this entire music experience from applications that can be installed on any iOS device or any Android device or on your Mac or PC.
Now, I did not realize that you actually had a separate Wi-Fi network to my existing Wi-Fi network. I thought it was running over the existing Wi-Fi network. Now, that's interesting. So basically, it's not going to be getting in the way of any of the other. So if you're running music, you're not going to be using a component of your bandwidth. And also, if you have issues getting to certain rooms and stuff like that, depending on how you configure it, each of the individual items or units becomes effectively a repeater that strengthens the single strength of the network through the whole system.
That's correct. Wow. Absolutely. So you can line them out in a really long line and have the player down at the far end of that line have full signal strength because it passes the audio content through all of the players between that and where it's plugged into your router.
Wow, that's pretty sophisticated.
Yeah.
That's why you're in business, right? If it was simple,
the goal is to allow people just to drop these things in every room of their home, plug them in, and not be worried about the audio dropping out or having difficulties with connectivity. And the other advantage, the other input that I mentioned at the beginning about the design was because it's a separate network, setting it up is really easy. To set up Sonos, you really just push a button on the product and say, add the component, and it's done. Oh, you don't have to search for your SSID or put in any password or anything like that.
Oh, that's crazy. Okay, so let's talk about the basic system that most people set up. Do most people start with a couple of different rooms or just usually with just one speaker system?
It's a mix. Most people, I don't know about most, it's like maybe 50-50. 50% of people start with a couple rooms, 50% start with one, and then most people come back within a couple of months and buy an additional room of sound after they've experienced the system.
So the absolute basic setup is I buy a Play 3 or a Play 5 speaker. Now, I can't send directly to that from my iOS device. Do I need the bridge as well?
Yeah, so you need the bridge along with the Play 3 or the Play 5, and that'll get you that first wireless room of music. And after that, anyone you drop in just works.
And where does the bridge live?
The bridge lives right by your router.
Okay, so it does plug into our Ethernet router.
That's correct, and that's how it sets up its separate network.
And so the music comes.
It's worth mentioning that if you wanted to put the 3 or the 5 near where your router was, or say your home was wired, you could actually wire up the first player, and then it would be wireless from there. So it doesn't have to be the bridge that's wired first.
Got it. So as long as the first device, be it the bridge or a Play 3, is Ethernet wired in, then you can build your system out from there.
Correct.
Now, so am I correct in assuming then that the music itself is going to be going over my existing Wi-Fi network into the Sonos, and then once it's in the Sonos system, then it's being distributed within it. But to get it in, it's using my Wi-Fi.
So actually, the sources of music is a very interesting discussion for Sonos because, yes, we'll play back your local content. And if you have iTunes, that music is likely stored on a PC in your home, or possibly you have a network attached storage drive that you've mm-hmm. loaded all the music into.
Yes.
If the network attached storage drive is hardwired into your router, for example, then we just index it and play it back on all of the zones automatically. So it's super easy to use. You can just browse straight from the controller and play back tracks. Same thing if it's on your laptop or PC. And then other ways to get music on Sonos are we support internet radio. So you've got just as many internet radio stations as you can imagine from all different places all over the globe. And then a bunch of music services are directly integrated on Sonos as well, right? So you can play back cloud music, Sirius Internet Radio, Slacker, RDIO, Songza. All those music services that people are starting to use are also built right into Sonos. So you can just play those back. And because we're connected to your network, we're able to play those directly from the cloud.
And the last piece of the puzzle is tying it into our existing home theater system. And for that, you've got some slightly different hardware. You have the Kinect or the Kinect amp.
Yeah, those products are aimed at more of a integration or installation type build out. The Kinect is perfect for an existing home theater system where you have a receiver. You take optical out of that into your receiver, and now you've turned that theater into a room of sound as well. And the Kinect amp
and
is
so before is we go on before we go on that basically the, takes our that in that means that in our home theater system we can have Sonos the mute we can have our music streaming through our Sonos system without actually having either the Play 5 or the Play 3 speakers. Whatever speakers are attached to our home theater system will then be able to play our music. Good.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly correct. And then we make another product called the Kinect amp. That product is just like that receiver that you could put with your home theater, but it goes with any speakers that you have around the home. Like you might have some in-ceiling speakers or a pair of bookshelf speakers that you really like, and you can just wire that up directly to the amplifier in the back. And of course, it's wireless as well, so you can place it wherever the speakers are. You don't have to run wires through the walls or anything.
What sort of range do we have once we start putting it all together for people that are on estates as opposed to homes? This is not speaking of me, but for example, if you happen to have the garage
so
that's 30 meters.
Actually, we built the wireless network itself on the backbone of 802.11n. So the range between any two nodes in the mesh is approximately equivalent to the range that you would get with your own wireless router, right? Mm-hmm. If it was talking to your laptop or something.
So there's a good chance you could put a speaker in your garage if you have a few speakers in the house, and you'll probably, you know, depending on the distance your garage, but there's a good chance you'll be able to feed into the garage as well.
Yeah, but where it gets interesting is a lot of it depends on the layout of your home, because if your router was well on the other side of your hypothetical estate and you had some players between there and your garage, you could actually have music playing in your garage perfectly fine because it would hop through the different players. So depending on your layout, you actually get much broader coverage than the standard distance, because it really creates this mesh network where it repeats. Each player acts as a repeater and extends the range of Sonos.
Well, there we go. So now the Play 3 speakers started about $329, I think, in Canada, and they go up from there. So it isn't the most inexpensive speaker system in the world, but it should be the last one you ever need to buy.
Yeah, it's not just the wireless you're paying for, and that's an important point. We're really serious about sound quality, and we put a lot of time and effort into building out the acoustics of our speakers. We built a world-class audio team here. And I think if you compare the quality of audio you get from Sonos to anything in the price range, you'll find that we compare very, very favorably.
Here's a bit of a silly question with a subwoofer, and excuse my ignorance if I'm not as much of an audiophile as I should be, but do you need, if you put the subwoofers in, now I know with my subwoofer for my home theater system, I pointed it towards the wall so that the whole room sort of gets a little bit of the vibration to create the bass end. Do you need a subwoofer in each of the rooms, or if you have one or two strategically placed through the house, does the house kind of help you with the bass for all of the music?
Yeah, this is really a matter of personal taste. I personally kind of feel that the subwoofer is great for these sort of prime listening locations where you're having people over for a party, but it can be very overpowering in a bedroom, you know, because this thing is a serious piece of audio equipment that is going to make some very deep bass sounds and really round out your audio, but it's also really going to annoy any nearby neighbors you have if you crank it up to full volume. So in my case, I find that one subwoofer in the primary listening location is sufficient, and then as I just group the other rooms in for simultaneous playback, it works throughout the home.
And
the cool thing about
subs
is because they're low frequency sound, you really can't localize where the sound is coming from. That's why you can flexibly place them wherever you want in your room.
So you just got your whole house vibrating to the tunes.
Exactly.
John Riley, the website is Sonos.com. We have a very exciting giveaway coming up on Dottotech. We're going to be giving away a Play 3 system and a Bridge in early December. So this kind of kicks that whole thing off. I'm sure lots of our listeners are going to be signing up for a chance to win one. Sonos.com is the website that you can order online from them, and there's all of the details on how the system works. John, I thank you very much for your time.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
As I mentioned in the end of that interview, we are giving away this month on Dottotech a Sonos player. We're giving away a player and the Bridge. It's an awesome prize. It might be right up there with one of the best prizes ever. And I know what you're going to ask, Art, so ask it.
Are we giving away to listeners, or are we giving away to the top producer on the Dottotech show?
We're giving away to listeners.
Ugh. I'm a listener. I listen every week.
You can't qualify. I see your name in there. You can enter as often as you want because it pads our numbers nicely. But no, you're not going to win. The deal is go to dottotech.com. There you can enter once a day. Up to once a day, you can enter to win the Sonos player. We're giving it away in early December. I think December 5th is the day.
What's the retail value of this prize?
Total prize, probably $500-$600.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be a great Christmas present.
Oh, this player is awesome. I am impressed with what Sonos brings. I love the idea of AirPlay. And so don't get me wrong. Just like we talked about in the interview, AirPlay works, but it only works on a single device. The idea of being able to zone this so that you play the same music and it appears, and you can configure what rooms have the music playing at what time, that's the future for me. I really, really, really like that. Now, before we get back, though, as we were off the top of the show, before I got distracted by my urinal with a pants dropping story, I was asking you about your iPad because this is you watched the election on your iPad for the first time, and the iPad is brand new to you. I want to know, what else are you using your iPad for, new iPad boy?
I've discovered that I like video games again.
Oh.
Video games on the iPhone were fine, but after a few minutes, your eyes start getting crossed, and they're fine for those games like the drawing games or the Scrabble games that were cool about 4 months ago.
The interactive games, the social games.
Yeah, because you'd play for just a couple minutes, and then you put it back in your
pocket.
But
they're not action games, per se.
No.
Not like coming up, Milk versus Cats. That's an action game. That's an action-packed game, I believe. So what games are you liking on the iPad?
I discovered that when you do Sudoku without having to write it in a book with pen, mm-hmm. is fantastic.
But they're also, most of the Sudoku apps cheat.
No, not necessarily.
They give you a little bit of cheat.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know how to play it properly. I only know is that...
But Sudoku is a pastime. It's not really a game.
It's a game. And also,
are you playing any action games, like driving games, flying games, sword fighting games, and bird attack games, spaceships, zombies?
I've only had this thing for like less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, give me that's a break. Plenty of time.
I'm into the basic games right now. I got to get back into it. I also discovered a catapult game that's similar to Angry Birds.
Okay.
Which is pretty much, if I was Angry Birds and I saw this game, which had like a few thousand marks for the rate the game
ratings.
Yeah, the ratings
reviews.
I would sue these guys, unless it's the same guys who did Angry Birds. It's essentially the same game, but
well, do you think that Angry Birds are the only catapult or slingshot in the world? Going to sue the slingshot guys?
Maybe.
I think that the folks that do Angry Birds don't have anything to worry about. Speaking of games, are you an Xbox 360 guy?
No.
Okay, because Halo 4 was released this week.
That explains that huge lineup at about 10 o'clock at night last night at the Best Buy on Canada
Street. Yeah, now I'm a Halo fan. I've liked Halo. I haven't played The third as much as I played. I played the second and first ones completely through, and with my, because my son was still at home back then.
Can you just in one sentence explain? I honestly haven't been a gamer in since I was about 13.
Yeah.
Halo. I know there's guns. What's
so great about it? Master Chief is the bomb.
It still doesn't mean anything to
me.
Oh
yeah, if you could be Master Chief, if I could be anybody in the world, I'd want to be Master Chief. He is uber cool.
So you're walking around with a gun.
Like, he's like John Wayne and the character in Mission Impossible and Indiana Jones, all rolled into one. But he's soft spoken, quiet, and just
you have like a man crush on. This
I have
guy.
Absolutely. Master Chief, he's cool. No, I think it's because Halo, because it was the first game of, well, for people like me who is a Mac guy, Halo grew out of a game called Marathon on the Mac, and Bungie Studios created Marathon. So we played the game long before it hit the Microsoft Spectrum and Xbox Spectrum, and we quite enjoyed it. And then it was kind of abandoned on the Mac platform because the Mac wasn't doing real well as a gaming platform. And then it disappeared, and all of a sudden it came back. And so for me, it was like this return to this incredibly fun world. It's the gameplay and the fact that you're killing a lot of things which aren't people. I don't like killing people too much.
Zombies, you're killing zombies.
No, they're creatures. They're nasty, badass creatures though that want to hurt you.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So you're saving people, essentially.
Oh, yeah, you're saving people. Saving the universe.
Huh.
Yeah, because all these things are bad, bad. And there are certainly zombie-ish things that happen because one of the swarm takes over your bodies and the dead bodies and reanimates them and turns them into zombie-like characters. And so you do have to, but they're hard to kill.
Oh. So essentially, each new game is the same game, only with a different storyline.
No, they've built a world around it. They've built a world. I don't know if the new game, the new line on the new game carries forward as well. And the single-player versions of the game have become secondary to the multiplayer, these massively multiplayer worlds where you go in with your friends and try and take each other's head off.
Right.
So that's become a big part of it is the multiplayer game. I'm not that good at that because I'm not that good a fighter. I'm much better at the strategy, so the single player game I'm good at, but I don't have the twitch reflexes that the kids do today. So I get killed pretty I get killed pretty easily. I don't know. I don't have an Xbox 360 at home now, so I got to find somebody else that has one. So if you want to invite me over for a Halo Fest, drop a line at Dottotech. Maybe I'll drop by and I'll bring a six pack of Diet Cokes and a pizza over, and we can play some Halo.
And bring one of those lights that shine the artificial sunlight, so these kids don't get rickets.
let's see what's happening with Julian Saunders.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Joining me now from Saskatchewan is Julian Saunders from London Drugs. How are you doing, Julian?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Steve?
I am doing great, and Christmas is coming soon, and a lot of us are gazing at our TVs, wondering exactly what we should be doing, because, you know, just having the PVR attached to a TV is so 2011.
That's right, yeah. There's a lot more you can get out of it.
Yeah, now I've got a little player that hooked up that allows me to play movies that I stream through. But it's an older system that's a couple years old. And there's, you know, I've considered upgrading to Apple TV, but there are options, aren't there?
You got it. Yeah, the Apple TV is still a very affordable option. At $109, it's one of the most popular. Definitely the easiest to use if you get all your content from Apple and mm-hmm. you want to rent your movies from iTunes. It's a great box. Now, slick and fast to set up.
Now, you know, as far as renting your movies from Apple, does that work out pretty affordable? Do you know, are you up on the prices that Apple's charging in iTunes?
Yeah, they're about $5 to $6 to rent, so it's not that bad. You get to watch them for 24 hours, mm-hmm. An unlimited amount of time. So if you, say, rent one at night on your TV, you can kind of pull it up on your lunch break the next day is kind of the idea. And to buy them, it depends on the studio, but they're around $20, so okay. It competes with the same price as Blu-rays are.
As Blu-ray
and they're just on your iTunes account, so you don't have a file to worry about saving and archiving. You have access to them from wherever you are, really.
Now the what about people with, shall I say, situational ethics? If you missed a TV show that you wanted to watch and you didn't record it on your PVR, now Apple will charge you to watch that same TV show on iTunes, but darn it, it was free. So if you decided to head over to
to the torrent world, and you downloaded that movie. Can you watch that through the Apple TV, or do you need another option?
Well, there's other boxes that are better at playing video files that come from anywhere. The Apple TV is limited to only formats that iTunes recognizes, so you're pretty restricted there. There's a couple like the new Sony Google TV that allows you to play all kinds of formats, as well as the D-Link Boxy Box. They have much more unrestricted players.
Okay, so Apple does keep it pretty closed down. But if you are happy in that iTunes world, and also if you want to stream music from your iPod or your from your computer through your home theater system, the Apple TV is a superb choice. Let's talk about the Sony, because that's the newest one. That's the newest boy on the block. Is Sony has got a Google TV that they've released. Now Sony traditionally has, you know, kind of gone their own way with proprietary things, and of course we know that Google is gone their own way with proprietary things. Have the two melded?
They have, yeah. They've blended them together quite nicely. It has a full version of Google Chrome for your web browsing, as well as apps like Twitter and others to do other internet-connected smart TV-type features.
Mm-hmm.
The part of the Sony TV that kind of separates it apart from the other guys is it has an input for your cable box. So if you have a regular PVR, you can patch it through the Sony Google TV and use it as a picture-in-picture. So you can have one window open with something from the internet or your computer while having the TV in the other window. So it makes kind of for a split-screen viewing over and above what other even popular smart TVs offer. It's quite a nice addition.
Now, we should explain to our audience, since they can't see what we're talking about. The Google TV is not a TV. It's like Apple TV. It's a box. And even though it's coming from Sony, it's still not a TV. It is a box with a remote that plugs in, first of all, to your, that I guess wirelessly connects to your internet, then plugs into your PVR and to your TV, and it sits between the two, correct?
That's correct, okay, yeah. And it has a wired Ethernet for speed if you have Ethernet by your television, as well as USB ports on it, so you can plug in flash drives or hard drives of stuff if you don't have it on your computer.
Now, does it support wireless as well?
It does. It has the new wireless A protocols as well as all the traditional
ones. Okay, so you've got lots of different ways to connect with it. And it does have a built-in Chrome browser, so it's fine for you can. So you've got full internet access if you're going to be watching YouTube videos or anything like that. I imagine with for coming from Google, it must be a great YouTube player.
Right. It's actually really fast. It's the same browser that they have on their Chromebook, so it has all the plugins needed without having to do any extra installations. So it makes for a really fast setup.
Now, it's the Apple TV is $109, I think. How much is the Sony Internet Player?
$199, $200.
So it's double the price. But with it, you have USB ports, so you can plug in any player or any hard drive with your movie collection on it, so you've got that option. How does it handle music?
Yeah, definitely. It even handles uncompressed music. So if you're a big fan of FLAC or any of the audio formats, it plays them all. There is no limit to the type of music player. Because it has a full web browser too, you can use it to stream music. I was playing around with it, and it was streaming the free music.cbc.ca channels,
yes,
which I've never been able to do from a Apple device without an app.
Yeah, and the CBC, they do stream some really nice. They do stream some really nice different genres of music. Now, let me ask you about the availability of movie rentals and movie purchases on it.
They've recently done a launch in the Google Store and Play Store in Canada on all of their devices, so you can now rent and buy movies straight from Google. So the store is still a little newer. They're still signing deals with studios, but the major releases are all on there on release day, and they're comparably priced to the Apple. Some of them are a little lower priced because of deals that they've signed with franchises. So there's the same variety of TV shows from the major studios, and it's about $5 to rent a movie in 1080p high def.
Now, the what about other services like Netflix and other things like that?
It's a Netflix certified device, so it has all that. It also has access to some Sony content, which is exclusive to their devices, which is free. And there's a mix of free and paid. So it's some content that's similar to what you find when you have a device like a Boxy Box, which has its own channels. That's another media streamer out there that's quite popular.
Now, I haven't said this about a lot of Sony product in the past couple of years, but it sounds like they might have done it right.
I agree with you, actually. You're not really limited by anything with it. It's got a full on web experience, and they've, because of their partnership with Google, you don't really have to worry about being locked into anything. You can also control your TV with your phone with it, and it doesn't matter if you have an iPhone or Android. It has a remote app that's free, so you, if you're looking for one less remote, you can just pull out your phone and control it with that. So that even adds another layer to it. So you're not limited by your selection of devices when you go to buy something new. It's going to integrate with your home entertainment very well.
Now, as I'm looking at their website, they talk about their remote. Their remote looks actually pretty cool. It kind of looks like a Star Trek tricorder type thing.
Yeah, it has a mouse on one side and some buttons to quickly navigate around. And then you just flip it over, and it's got a full full QWERTY keyboard that you can use with your thumbs.
So,
there's a little sensor in it, so it knows which way it's facing up, so you don't accidentally push the wrong buttons with the bottom of your fingers. So, if you want to go and tweet to your heart's content, it's all right there, and it's just a little bit wider than most regular remotes, but shorter. So, it's really comfortable in your hand. It's actually one of the coolest things about the whole setup is the remote.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. And of course, that will allow people to update their Facebook status as to what they're watching, which is, of course, what we're all going to be doing.
You got it, yeah. And it also has a little infrared blaster to be able to control your television. So you can even use the QWERTY, you can use the remote control minus the QWERTY features to change your settings on your PVR and control those devices.
So you can use the one.
It could eliminate the remotes on the table.
It could be one remote to rule them all. Now, I had a great question about this as far as Sony goes. Oh, they talk about gaming on it. What are they doing in that area?
Well, they have some apps that they've put on it. There's a couple from the Play Store. They're expanding into a bunch like Social Life, which is kind of a strange mix of social networking and gaming, and there's more coming out all the time. It comes preloaded with three games, including a couple of brain teasers.
This could be a fairly compelling product. I mean, we're always talking about the second screen, you know, your tablet computer being your second screen, where you have a web browser running, you're looking up information while you're watching TV, which is great if you're watching in a group, if your family's sitting down and you don't want to disturb them. But if you're solo watching TV, your TV can become both screens with this particular thing, with this particular device, because you're windowing your web browser into the along with the television.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gives you access to more, like if you've got different age ranges of kids at home, there's a lot of games and things that you can use online. And when you try to access that from your smart TV or from your Apple device, it fails because it has the wrong, might not have flash support or the wrong version of Java. But with the Google TV, with the Chrome browser and the Google TV by Sony, it's really unrestricted. So even if you have a small group, you could probably still have fun with it.
Again, I can't believe I'm saying this about a Sony product, but I think I'd like to try this one out. Yeah, this one seems more compelling to me than Apple's TV, which I've always liked, but I've never bought because of some limitations with it. But this one here, I think I could see it fitting into my lifestyle. Now, before I make this tryout decision, though, what about Boxy? Where do they sit these days?
Well, D-Link's got one of the more well-established markets out there for the Boxy Box, and it's a pretty funky-shaped spaceship-looking, almost like a Borg cube from Star Trek.
Yeah, it's
and they have a lot of free content on channels. So in Canada, as most people are used to, the channels aren't as good as they're in the U.S., but they have a nice variety of both internet television, so shows that are published nowhere else, as well as user created content, so anyone can actually create a channel for the Boxy Box network. It has USB ports and will play any video formats. It's a little bit more than the Sony TV, our Google TV, and it doesn't integrate with your cable box. So it's more for the person looking for a great web experience. It does Netflix. It also does some free streaming radio. It has access to about 750 streaming channels. And the power of the processor inside of the Boxy box is one of the reasons it's a little more. But it it has its own web browser and its own app market, so you can still get games, you can still do all that.
It sounds it sounds to me like Boxy is going to be more affected by this Google TV than Apple, because the Apple TV, you know, people that are in the Apple ecosphere are just going to buy the Apple TV because it's Apple. But
right.
But Boxy looks, it sounds like the Google TV is going really head to head with it.
You got it. Yeah, and it's I actually know some people that own both, and they're telling me that they don't even turn on their Boxy box anymore. They just keep using the Google TV just because it has less restrictions.
Now, before we wrap things up, the Google TV, Sony is only going to be the first vendor to release this, because other vendors will have Google TV systems out soon, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
So we can be looking for that, and then maybe maybe somebody will come up with something really creative. But it sounds like Sony might have done it right. So for you, under the Christmas tree this year, if you are looking for a television companion, your three choices: Boxy right now, the Apple TV, and the Google TV. And the Google TV might be the most compelling. Wow, Julian, they're all available. People can check them out. London Drugs, correct?
You got it, yeah. And we even have a good comparison on our nerd blog. You can go to nerdblog.lennondrugs.com, and we're always on Twitter at LD Computers to answer your questions.
Thanks so much, Julian Saunders.
Thanks, Steve.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
November the 5th launched a new game in the iTunes store. It's called Milk vs. Cats, and it comes out of Canada. It actually comes out of the good folks in Alberta at the Alberta Milk Marketing Board. I've got online with me Melinda Falkenberg Poets, and I've also got Jesse Spink. Melinda is with the marketing board, and Jesse is a developer based in Vancouver who developed the game. And first of all, I have to ask you, Melinda, why did the Alberta milk marketing people think that a mobility game was the way to help people drink more milk?
Well, we're in partnership not just with Alberta Milk, but with Sask Milk and Manitoba Milk. So through the Prairie Milk Marketing Partnership, we decided to develop a game that was fun and interactive. Basically, our youth has been, or our target is youth. So we wanted to be where they are. So, and we wanted to develop something that was fun and active. And what better way to do it but to have a game?
So the whole idea is just get the people, them thinking about milk by developing a game around milk.
Right, to engage them with our with the brand, with the milk product. And so that was the idea around it. And we wanted to do something that was a little bit different and surprising.
Well, it is. The game itself, I'll put up some video of the game on our site, but it's you basically go running around with a glass of milk in front of you that cats keep trying to knock over. So you have these mischievous cats. it's fun. I didn't do too well. I spilt it. I got 0 points my very first effort. And then I got up to make like 900 points. I didn't do too well. So you folks looked around and you brought in the people at Agoyo, and that's you, Jesse. So what is your company specialize in?
Ayogo, yeah.
Ayogo,
so,
sorry.
At Ayogo, we're making games for health and wellness, games and applications that promote healthy behavior in the users.
So
that's our specialty.
And so that's a growing. Kind of a growing genre. I mean, I guess the kind of the monster in that one right now is that zombie game. You guys didn't do that one, did you?
No, we've been working on several games that are about to get released very, very shortly. Sort of our most noteworthy one was one called Health Seeker that we released on Facebook a couple years ago.
Okay.
We have a couple sort of exciting games that are about to launch in the next couple weeks as well.
Must be fascinating working in the whole Facebook and mobility space and the challenges that are in there. But what were the challenges coming up with a game around milk for you guys?
Well, yeah, I should give some definite due credit to Dare, who is also a partner in this kind of trifecta partnership between Prairie Milk Marketing Partnership, Gare, their agency of record, and ourselves at Yogo as the software developers. So they really came to us with this vision and this idea that they had fleshed out with the Prairie Milk Marketing Partnership, with the idea of having a couple of gameplay modes, one that kids could engage in and play with wherever they are, you know, be it on the school bus or at home. But the part that really got us excited was the active mode, where we use augmented reality to get the kids up and active and actually use satellite measurement to see how far the distance the child's traveled. So, you know, I think the brainchild was born out of Dare's work with the Prairie Milk Marketing Partnership, and we stepped in to lend our expertise in game design and software development in the space.
And in that augmented reality mode, basically you use the forward-facing camera to allow them to work in real space as they try and balance that glass of milk before the cats come and try and knock it over, right?
That's it. That's exactly right. Yeah. So the two play modes, the casual mode, you're balancing the glass and walking through a virtual environment, trying to keep a glass upright before the cats and flying cookies knock it over, or the super straw sucks the milk out of your glass. And then in the active mode, you use that augmented reality, like you mentioned, of the front-facing camera, and you physically walk through the physical world. So imagine walking through the school field or, you know, down your street or sidewalk at home, having the cats jump out of the bushes around you.
Now, Melinda, you folks are releasing, it's kind of an interesting marketing proposition. You're releasing and promoting a game that you're releasing to the world in general when you really have a very small constituency of the Prairie provinces. How do you guys measure success? What does success look like for you in a project like this?
Well, it was certainly, you know, if we could geo-target, that'd be great. But success for us looks like, you know, that youth are engaging with the brand, regardless of where they're from, because we think our message is very strong, our message about perseverance and ambition. You know, if others, and I know that through testing that other targets have tested it, younger people and perhaps older people.
Like me.
I certainly had my nemesis is the Siamese cat. So we think that it appeals to all, although, you know, our target is there, but we understand, you know, with a game, it can go anywhere. And our hope is that it does go across Canada and that just not youth are playing it, because it does bring everybody closer to the brand.
And it'll get you some props from all the people in Ontario and Quebec and BC, I imagine, if you're successful.
Yeah, and we have a good partnership with all those folks too.
And now, Jesse, what about you folks? What are you looking for? What does success look like as far as the game developer of a product like this?
You know, first and foremost, we kind of always measure success with the end user. So to Melinda's point is if kids are engaging with it and having fun and it's meeting the needs of, you know, the PMMP, for us, then we really look at the end user needs. Has to
PMMP
be fun.
PMMP is the Prairie Milk Marketing Partnership,
yeah,
right?
That's okay. Correct.
Good.
And also that it's getting them active. So we would measure success in the metrics of how active the kids are and how far the distances they're traveling. And you know, just seeing that we are able to influence children's behavior positively and hopefully, even though it's through a screen, get them away from screens in some respect and get them out and active in the real world. I think that's something that's really powerful with games.
And a big part of this game as well is the social media sharing, where you're comparing your scores with others on Facebook and that sort of stuff. Do you think that that's going to be a real important metric to see it popping up on Facebook and becoming an item there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, those social share mechanics are something we design into a lot of our games, because the power of social influence and wanting to be on the top of the leaderboard is a pretty compelling reason to get outside and try and walk across the field, or like I say, just try and better your friends' scores. If you see your friends or other people up on the leaderboard, it's a compelling reason to get outside and get more active.
Okay, now the most important question, Melinda, what's your best score?
Oh, I think 1600 on casual mode. When I was on active mode, I absolutely crashed into things as I walked around.
Did you walk into something? That's bad.
It's important to clear your path, but
kids bounce a little better than adults do, as far as that goes. We have a new kitten in our house right now, and I see its personality traits. I think your cats are fairly realistic. It sits there up on top of tables and knocks things down that the dog isn't allowed to get. To watch the dog play with things that it's not supposed to get. I think it does it just to get the dog in trouble, actually. So. What about you, Jesse? What's your best score? Or do you know all the cheat codes?
I was going to say, I think I racked up my highest score during testing before the game was live. It was in the live mode, making sure that everything was registering with the satellites outside, that the active mode was as viable as we had aimed for it to be. And I can't recall the score, but I know it was down the back alley of our office, up around the block, and almost back. So almost, I guess, one city block.
So did you get props? Did you get props from the?
It was pretty good.
Did you get props from the rest of the development team for that?
Yeah, not so much. They had their hair straight back in development, so it was making sure that the game was going to be ready for these guys to launch yesterday.
Now it's available in the Apple iTunes Store. Is iOS the only version that's available?
Yeah, currently it is. But you know, technologically, we always aim to use technologies that port quite rapidly over to Android. And sometimes we start in Android as kind of a test market with certain games, see how the games are doing and bring it quite quickly over to iOS. So the technology we used to develop the game was Unity, and that ports quite easily to both platforms, which is a great advantage.
So the game is called Milk vs. Cats, available at the iTunes Store. We'll have links to your websites on our site. I need to thank Melinda Falkenberg, Poets, and Jesse Spink. Thanks so much for your time, guys.
Thanks for having us, Steve.
And just like that, I think we are done as far as our time goes for today. Art Factora, thank you so much. I now have you, while we were doing the interview, did you get to play any Milk vs. Cats?
Of course I did.
So what do you think of the game?
I'm glad it was made in Vancouver.
How are you doing on it?
It's kind of like it's like a driving game.
Yeah, it is. But it's balance. It's all about balance, I think. So, yeah. But it uses the velocitized the thing in the iPhone. So as you turn it from side to side, it's an okay game. It's good. I like the virtual reality aspect of it. You know, the fact that you can kind of use it in your own world, and it's very well implemented as far as that goes. It's very clean.
If you really like cats
or milk.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Or balancing, or just balancing.
I would say cats and balancing, because it's not like you get to drink the milk, and it's about saving. So if you like saving milk.
And we should have pointed out that it is a fine game for people who are lactose intolerant.
Yes.
It is. Good it call. Is a fine game for them. Let's see, what are the things that we need to remind people of? Drop by the website to enter the Sonos giveaway.
Or don't, at because that gives me a better chance of winning.
No, drop by and enter it to win the Dottotech, to win the Sonos player. For people in the Vancouver area, a reminder, Metro Theater for Lend Me a Tenor. We're on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday of this week down at the Metro, so you can call the box office there. There's still plenty of seats available. Not so many for Saturday. Saturday's going to be sold out, but the rest of the nights are looking pretty good, although there's still good seats available for Saturday. Let's make it sold out if we can. And you know what? Next week, what's up next week, Art? Do you know what next week is?
It's App Wednesday.
It is App Wednesday, and I'm so excited. We've been waiting for so long to get Miss 604, the tweeting phenomenon.
On the show. Rebecca
Bullwit? We're not supposed to say her name.
Everyone knows her name now. She's a superstar.
Well, they do now because you just said it.
You're welcome, Rebecca.
Rebecca's coming on the show. At least she said she was. She said before that she's coming on, but things came up. But it was an important family thing, a niece's concert.
She's true to her word.
Yes, yes. And so Rebecca's coming on. I haven't decided who the rest of the panel is. Who do you think would go along nicely with Rebecca?
I don't know if anyone will.
Miss 604. She's kind of shy. Oh, I know who else. I do have somebody else. I believe I have Todd Maffin booked in.
Wow.
So it's going to be an all-star cast.
I feel you should get a better producer for that show.
Yes.
You probably feel that way too.
No. No, I know what they pay you.
It's true.
So I don't think we can actually get a better producer.
That's true. You saw the bed underneath the studio here. That's where I sleep.
It's kind of like George Costanza's bed under the office at Yankee Stadium. That was awesome. Yes. Yes, indeed. Once again, I think for the entire audience, I do have to apologize for my urinal story. I'm not sure that I don't think I've ever talked about urinals on the show before.
I feel bad. What if
the dude that dropped his pants is listening?
Or he listens every week.
Well, he should call me and apologize, write an apology, and he should stop this bizarre action.
Maybe he knew it was you. And
he
that's
didn't
his
know
way
it was
of,
me. No, there was no. He looked at me. There was no recognition. There was just a slight acknowledgement to the look of horror on my face.
Okay.
That is all the time we have for this week's show. Drop by our website at dottotech.com. There you can listen to a repeat, should you choose, and of course, enter the Sonos contest. I am Steve Dotto. Art Factor produces this fine piece of radio. We will see you next week.
You're listening to Dotto Tech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.